want to speak on the last couple of verses. I think this is the fourth message we've given on this wonderful psalm. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's the last few words I want to emphasize, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now we must all have a way, that's quite evident, for we are journeying, and this life is not permanent, so we must all have a way. We can't stop the hands of the clock. We can't stop the sun from rising. I remember when reading this, when I was 16 years of age, I was in my bedroom one night, and I said, 16, I'm not going to get any older. I'm going to stay 16 all my life. Well, I'm 76 now, so I guess I passed it. Anyway, that's it. We've got to have a way. We must have a way. And you're on the way. And you might just as well investigate as to what kind of way you are on. How important that ours is the right way. Lead me in the way of everlasting. First, for your own safety, that you be in the right way, and for the sake of others. How important it is for parents to be in the right way, because there are little feet following. Sad thing if parents are in the wrong way, and I've met a lot of parents in my life, and they've adopted or embraced some cult or some false religion, some false doctrine, and I looked at their little family and shaken my head. What a pity. How wonderful when parents are in the right way, the way of everlasting that the Bible speaks of. Then they can lead their little ones in that same way. The Bible says, no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, you're not just living for yourself. Others are going to be influenced by the way you live. And so how important that parents be in the right way, the way of everlasting, not only for your own benefit, but for the benefit of your children. And it's important, too, that you're in the right way, the way of everlasting, because of the end. Remember, the way you're on has got to end. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There's the broad way, but there is the narrow way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The disciples asked the Lord, are there few that be saved? Yes. As we look at the world today, if religion is the way to heaven, and there are hundreds of religions, why then, the Lord made a mistake. He could have said, oh, the way is wide. It embraces all kinds of religion. No, it doesn't. The way to heaven is a narrow way. A narrow way. And that road is so narrow, it excludes all who are not born again. And so this is the way that the Lord Jesus referred to. How wonderful to be in this way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, the Bible says, but the way thereof is the way of death. That word seemeth is quite important. There is a way that seemeth right. Well, I seem to be right. Are you really right? There is a way that seemeth to be right unto man, the Bible says, but the end thereof is the way of death. You know, this is the way of everlasting life. It's not the sinful way. Everlasting life is not at the end of a sinful way, nor just a religious way. But the end of this way is heaven. The end of this way is life, it's glory. And don't make any mistake about that. Over in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, showing that men and women have certain ways of their own. But there's only one way. That's the way of everlasting. Two men met at an intersection. One was familiar with that area. The other was a perfect stranger, and he was lost. So the man who was lost, he said to the man at the intersection, he said, "Where does that lead to?" He said, "I don't know." "And where does that road lead to?" He said, "I don't know." "And where does that road lead to?" He said, "I don't know." He says, "You don't know anything, do you?" "Yes," he says, "I do." "What do you know?" "I know I'm not lost." And friend, there are a lot of things that I don't know in this world and don't want to know. There are a lot of things in the Bible I don't know. But there's one thing I do know, I'm not lost. One thing I do know, I'm saved and going to heaven. That's the main thing to know in this life. The way everlasting. How wonderful to know that. I know I'm not lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I do know I'm saved and going to heaven. God's way is mapped out by everlasting principles. Principles that are everlasting. And what an engineer God is. And he's made this way. And he knows the end from the beginning. God, the great engineer, has mapped out this way. He knows the capacity of this way. He knows it's a way that's straight and you need not lose your way. God himself is the engineer, and he has gone this way everlasting. God can't err. He can't lie. He can't make a mistake. He cannot miscalculate. God knows the way of everlasting. He has drawn it out on everlasting principles. I was in Pennsylvania one time, about the first time we opened up the Pennsylvania Turnpike, 160 miles. I went through tunnels. When I stopped at one of the eating places, I was attracted to quite a monument, and I went over. And I saw row after row of the names of men who lost their lives building the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Now, the engineers who drew that plan didn't know it was going to cost that. They didn't know the lives that were going to be lost on that turnpike up to this day. They didn't calculate that. God has gone away. And he's an expert engineer. He's taken everything into consideration. His calculations are right. They are correct. He knows just how wide it'll be to handle all who want to come aboard. I was in Augusta many years ago having meetings, and there was a man and his wife, Major and Mickey Weston, and Mickey was saved. She's a lovely character. I generally visit them when I go to Canada and come through Augusta on my way back. But the Major is not saved yet. But he told me one day, and this was many years ago, he said, and he referred to three or four other men working for the Army, He said, our job is to try and work out what the traffic problem will be 15 years from now and plan highways in keeping with that, to handle the traffic. The capacity. I don't know whether they come out all right or not. I didn't ask them when I saw them a few months ago. But they likely miscalculated. Friend, God cannot miscalculate. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when God devised and thought of this way everlasting, he knew just how many. He said few. Few there be that find. And there have been no accidents on this highway, the way everlasting. None have ever been lost. They didn't get off. That's what the Bible says. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a way to be on. The way everlasting. And David says, lead me in the way everlasting. And God wants to lead you into and onto this way. As I said a while ago, how important for mothers and fathers to be on this way that they might lead their children. Blind men need to know this way. No need trying to show a blind man the way, he couldn't see it. But he needs to be told because he can hear it. And Christ says, I am the way. And blind men found him. And they got on the way of everlasting. It is a way of everlasting. Once you're on it, you're on the stage. I know not where my path may wind to marsh or meadow, but I know where it's going to end in the presence of God. The way everlasting. How wonderful to be on this way. He doesn't say, he'll show us the way. He says, I am the way. Now in this life, you can choose your way. If you want to travel, you can take your car, or you can take the bus, or you can take the train, or you can take the ship, or you can take the plane. And you can determine what class you want to travel on. Whether first class, second class, or third class. None of those things enter into the way everlasting. You have no choice but one. The broad way and the narrow way. The narrow way is the way of everlasting. In other words, all on this way are first class. All on first class. They're washed in the blood. They're God's children. They're all on this one way, first class. And only those who are lost sinners can get on. You have a ticket. Admit one sinner. And when you get on these turnpikes, as I've done many times, you have to stop now and again and buy your ticket. And that'll see you for so many miles. There's no ticket at any of these exits or entrances. It's free. This way everlasting. It has no entrances once you're on, and no exits, and no costs. It doesn't cost you a dime. God's salvation is free. One class, lost sinners. One way, Christ. One cost, his precious blood. This is the way everlasting. Are you on this way? And do you want to get on? You can, if you wish to, you get on it this morning. No matter how old you are, to get on this way everlasting. David was a matured, experienced man of about 70 when he wrote this psalm. He had taught others, and yet quite often David said, lead me. Lead me. And once you're a born again Christian, you still need to ask God to lead you. Keep me on this way. And don't let me stray. Lead me. You know, if heaven were to be obtained by one big leap, well, some would try to make that one big leap and get there in one big jump. But that's not the way. Heaven is at the end of a long pilgrimage. And you get on this way when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you're on this way, then you say, Lord, lead me, lest I stray. Not off the way, but you can do things on the way that displease Him. And so you have this way everlasting. And so you must enter through the gate, the narrow gate that leadeth unto life. How wonderful to be on this way. And this is the way. At the end you have the pearly gates. They're the end of this wonderful pilgrimage. Everlasting. Lead my thoughts in the way of everlasting. This is for Christians. I'm on this way. I know it. I'm on the way of everlasting. Lead me. Lead my thoughts. In the way of everlasting, in the way of understanding, in the way of knowledge. Lead my mind in the way of truth, all the truth, balanced truth. Lead my thoughts. Lead me in the way of my affections, my emotions, my interests. Lord, lead me in this way. That's the way I want to go. The way of everlasting. A way that has everlasting results. Everlasting peace. Everlasting happiness. Everlasting rewards. Lead me in the way of my tongue. Don't let my tongue stray. Lead me as to my tongue. I don't want to be guilty of slander, of slur, or hurting, or lest I dishonor God, lest I even lie, lead in the way of everlasting. A lady was in a certain church and lived in a little community, and she just about covered the town with her tongue. She spake good of no one. She magnified false. One day she got convicted and she went to see the preacher. Of course, the preacher was fully aware of what had been going on. After she made some kind of a confession, he went to a room and he came back with a pillow full of feathers, feathered pillow. He said, I want you to step out and just open this pillow and shake all the feathers out. It was a windy day. So she did. She came back. She handed him the pillowcase. Now he says, go and gather all those feathers up again. She said, that's impossible. Yes. And it's impossible to gather up again all the words of slander and lies and slurs that you have spread around this community. We need to be in the way of everlasting as to our account. Miriam went back 40 years and found fault with Moses, her brother, concerning the Ethiopian he'd married. God struck Miriam with leprosy. She was a leper from the day to the day of her death. She wasn't walking in the way of everlasting. And also David, when he was rejoicing bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, he had a wife by the name of Michal, Saul's daughter, and she looked out the window and she saw David dancing and rejoicing, and when he came in she rebuked him. You look like one of the lewd fellows today. And God struck her.
he was bound to the day of his death. David wasn't perfect, but he was the Lord's anointed. Lead me in the way of everlasting when it comes to my tongue. I mentioned this when I was in Florida staying with the Tuttles because it was Jack Tuttle's father. Old Mr. Tuttle was a barber. We were talking one day while he was clipping my hair, and there had been some gossip in town. And there were three who were responsible. And Brother Tuttle says, you know, Brother Wilson, I hear that those sisters are on that phone 3 hours a day. Now, he says, you know, they're bound to tell a lie now and again, so there's not that much truth. That's true. Lead me in the way of everlasting as to what flows out of my mouth. Lead me as to my actions, as to whether they're private or whether they're public, whether they're at school or whether at business or in society or in the church. Lead me as to my actions. How does God lead us? He leads us by His Word. He leads me by His Holy Spirit. And these are the rails on which we travel. This is the way of everlasting. The railroad tracks, they run straight parallel. They never cross the main lines. There'd be some wrecks. And friend, the Word of God never contradicts the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God never contradicts the Word of God. They never cross. They run parallel, and they will till eternity. And if you take God's Word and go by its teachings, and the Holy Spirit helps you, you'll be in the way everlasting. Another way God teaches and leads is through your conscience. Another way is through ministry. Maybe like what you're getting this morning. Circumstances. He leads through circumstances. Maybe sickness. Or the loss of a loved one. He's leading you in the way of everlasting. What's the result of being in the way of everlasting? It's amazing that Isaiah, one of the Old Testament prophets, 7 times over, he uses the word everlasting. Just 7, and 7 is the number of perfection. And it's very interesting to note what he says that is everlasting. Over in chapter 45, he speaks of everlasting salvation. And that's where we begin. In chapter 60, he speaks of everlasting life. And in chapter 35, he speaks of everlasting joy. And in chapter 26, he speaks of everlasting strength. And in chapter 54, everlasting holiness. And in chapter 61, an everlasting covenant. This is the way everlasting. Will I quote the last everlasting that Isaiah speaks of in chapter 33? Everlasting burning. That's for the ones who are not on the way everlasting. Everlasting burning. Everlasting is associated with God. Everything that's everlasting is associated with God. The holy city is everlasting. The gates of pearl are everlasting. The streets of gold are everlasting. And the walls of jasper are everlasting. The temple is going to be everlasting. Everything you're going to see in heaven is everlasting. Everything you're going to do in heaven in the way of service is everlasting. Everything that you're going to see or hear is everlasting. Everlasting praise. Everlasting singing. All is going to be everlasting in heaven. Meaning, it'll last forever. The way everlasting. That's exactly what it means. Something that's going to last forever. It'll never end. Never end. It's very important, serious, yet solemn. And I was going over it yesterday. You know, in the last book of the Bible, you read just 12 times, forever and forever. Just 12 times, that's in the last one. And I'm going to give you those passages. It's all the Word of God. Everlasting, forever and forever. And seeing the book of Revelation is the last book of your Bible, God is winding up everything.
And it's
everlasting. It's forever. And it is forever. No such thing as annihilation here. You breathe your last here, you're going to be conscious elsewhere. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. My absence here means my presence there. And the moment you breathe your last, it's not the end. You don't die like a dog. You are everlasting. And there are two everlasting places. One is the presence of God. The other is heaven. And eventually the lake of fire. And in Revelation 1:6, here's your first everlasting. And it tells you in that verse, He has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, who to Him be glory and dominion forever and forever. That's the first everlasting. Then the second in chapter 4, verse 9, the living creatures, the four living creatures, give glory, honor, thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and forever. Chapter 4, verse 10, the elders fell down before Him that sat upon the throne, and worshipped Him, and cast their crowns before Him that liveth forever and forever. And you have the Hallelujah Conference song, the Hallelujah Chorus in chapter 5, verses 12 to 13, the angels and men cried, saying that He was slain to the king, the Lamb was slain, and was worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing, and every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth, and such as were in the sea, and all that were in them, saying, blessing, honor, glory, power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and forever, everlasting. That's the Hallelujah Chorus. Chapter 5, verse 14, and the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and forever. Chapter 7 and verse 12, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and forever. Chapter 10 and verse 1, I'm going to read this to you, for this is something. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. This is too wonderful not to read it. Revelation 10 and 1. This is what it said. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book written, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them up. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by Him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, in the things which are therein, and there should be time no longer. Time has frozen into eternity. No clocks, no sunrises, no tides. No, then it'll be forever and forever. The mighty angel. Then in chapter 11, the seventh angel with the seventh last vial. And that sweeps us on through the great tribulation into the millennium. And this is what he says. He announced the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Chapter 22 and 5, and those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says, there shall be no night there, and they shall reign forever and forever. The last three are solemn. I've given you nine. Now notice chapter 19, verse 3. The smoke of her torment shall ascend up forever and forever. That's the false church. That's Christendom after Christ comes and takes his bride up. And that's the conglomerate of all that's left under the name of Christendom, spoken of as the scarlet woman and the great harlot. The smoke of her torment ascended up forever and forever. Her judgment is eternal. Then the next one in chapter 15 and 7, the vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and forever. God is pouring out the fullness of his fury. The world won't have his love today. God says, you'll have my wrath then. And this world is hastening on to that. That awful day when God will pour out the seven vials of his wrath. And he liveth forever and forever. Then in verse 10 of chapter 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and forever. At the beginning of the millennium, after the great tribulation, the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Not to be annihilated for 1,000 years later. They're still there. And the devil that deceived them, who used them as tools to deceive the world, it tells you that little word, are. They're cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, two men, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and forever. There's no end here. They're either going to be in an eternal heaven or an eternal hell. There's no neutral place. There's no meeting. There's no place where you're neutral. And I'm going to conclude with what Daniel said. And to me, this struck me yesterday as I read it. This is the verse in Daniel 12 and 2. Many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That word contempt struck me. I went to my dictionary. What does contempt mean? For this is God expressing himself in contempt. Contempt means disdain. Contempt means to deride. Another word, disregard. derision. Contempt means to disregard. Contempt means to laugh at, to scorn. Contempt means to snap your finger at you. Again, you ask for it, you got it. Contempt means to shrug your shoulders. So what? Contempt means to mock, to divide, to taunt. Do you have scriptures to back that up? You do. In Proverbs chapter 1, God says, I've called, ye have refused. I stretched out my hands and you didn't regard it. Now I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to mock when your fear comes. You may not fear death, you say, but I don't fear. You don't fear God, you will. And the day is going to come when God will hold you in eternal contempt. You had the chance. He offered you Christ forever. And you turned them down. And God snapped his finger at you. You asked what you got. Everlasting contempt. Now that's the Bible. Don't say I said it. God said it. If you want to argue with him, that's your fault and folly, not mine. Are you going to go in the way of everlasting? Everlasting life. Everlasting joy. Everlasting peace. Everlasting satisfaction. The way everlasting. That is the highway that God has charted through this wicked, ungodly world. Are you going to step from the broad way onto the narrow way? Or are you going to keep going the way you are? It's a case of everlasting glory or everlasting gloom, everlasting life or everlasting death, everlasting pleasure or everlasting punishment, everlasting praise or everlasting pain, everlasting joy or everlasting sadness, everlasting heaven. Or everlasting hell. That's all up to you. It's just that solemn. And you are this morning at the crossroads. I referred to the man. He says, I'm not a fool. The other man seemed to be. What are you this morning? Are you a wise man? Willing to follow the architect? Who has gone this highway? It's straight, it's clear, it's clean, and it's everlasting. But are you going to ignore it for everlasting contempt? God is true to you. You rejected his son. The loss is yours, not his. Will you take Christ? Will you take him this morning and go in the way of everlasting? Shall we go? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy holy, holy presence. We shudder as we think of what someone even in this audience may miss the way of everlasting. We pray now. Should there be ones here who have never known Christ or the end of everlasting benefits that come when we receive Christ, may the Holy Spirit urge them and urge them now to accept Jesus Christ and be saved and go in the way of everlasting. We ask it in our Savior's name. Yeah. Shall we sing in closing? Number 376. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee.
out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Here's a hymn that I'll come into. From the broad way, from the narrow way, the choice is yours, shall we say.